The Laughter of God by Walter C. Lanyon. Chapter 12. Living Waters. Running water never tires. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Jeremiah 2:13. In this little verse lies hidden the reason for most of the difficulties of the human race. My people, you and I, have forsaken the fountains of living water and made cisterns of our own, broken cisterns. We have wandered far from the living fountains into the parched and dried desert of human experiences, and have stopped on some oasis and dug us wells and made us cisterns, trying to husband the waters of human understanding, hoping thereby to quench our thirst. But the cisterns are broken, and the water does not satisfy us. The prodigal is far removed from his father's house, and yet he is as near to it as he will ever be. Everything that is real and eternal is here and now, and the open sesame is recognition. The prodigal has been feeding and watering the outward body and has not been satisfied. His state goes from bad to worse, and the prodigal is the story of every man. The dead letter of the word sticks in his throat. He knows that his fathers did eat bread in the wilderness and are dead. He has come to the end of the human satisfaction. The broken cistern is dry. The stagnant waters of human reasoning are unfit to quench the appalling thirst. It is then, perhaps, that he heeds the admonition of the voice, "Turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul." It is an invitation that is many times passed by because of the human argument. What am I fit to enter the rest of the righteous? I, who have left undone so many things that should have been done, and have done so many things that should not have been done. But there is a beautiful insistence on the request, "Turn ye even unto me, for my ways are not your ways." The ways of the me of spirit are not the ways of the prodigal, who has spent his substance in riotous living. The ways of spirit are not the ways of the human reasoning and wisdom, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So what use for you to hold out any longer with your human understanding and reasoning? My ways are past finding out. No man can put the ways of God on a laboratory table and dissect them to find out how they can set aside the human laws. What if 10,000 people have gone down by the false law? It shall not come nigh you, provided you have turned even unto me with all your heart. What if, ever since the beginning of time, a human law has worked out successfully? There is always the exception, and that is the time that the God power is brought into play, and the poor, puny human intellect rears its great head of wisdom and says, "A miracle has happened, a supernatural law." Exactly, a miracle to the human sense, but a natural functioning of the God law. Incurable, impossible, hopeless, improbable are all words in the dictionary of man. They find no place in the courts of the Lord. The unconditional power of God asks no permission of the race of human thought to set aside one of its laws. The sternest, most hard and fast law of the human wisdom is less than a bit of thistle down battering against the walls of China. There is no recognition of the existence of a false law that has to be set aside. There is a simple, natural expression of the God law, the eternal harmony of itself, and when this expresses and destroys the belief law, man says, "A miracle has happened." Feeding upon the letter, which is dead, is no way to attain life everlasting. Drinking the stagnant waters of the history of evil is no way to quench the thirst of the soul. Gradually, we are beginning to see that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He is gradually sensing the fact that drinking of living waters and eating hidden manna is not such an imaginary thing as it was formerly thought to be. Ye have bread that ye know not of. The awakened soul is beginning to know that he, being a spiritual being in a universe of spirit, must be and is perfectly sustained in this medium of expression. He knows that the spiritual man must be fed with spirit and watered by the living waters. He then sees more into the command, be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He begins experiencing the feel, I am a spiritual being in a spiritual universe. And he takes his attention away from the physical manifestation and begins to literally feed on the spirit. His body is beautifully fed and watered. He laves in the river of life and is beginning to be impressed with the consciousness that if he eats this food and drinks this water, he shall never hunger and thirst again. Never. Think this over. The statement is never. Hold fast to that which is good. If you on the invisible side or in the pure light of spirit partake of this food and drink these living waters, you shall never hunger or thirst again. Never. What about the human body then, never being in want of food or drink again? Do you see what lies hidden in this wonderful revelation? Do you begin to see that the Word became flesh, and in my flesh shall I see God? Right into manifestation? Can you understand that to feed and water yourself in the pure essence of spirit, not regarding or looking for the manifestation, will cause your physical body to be properly fed and watered? It is wonderful. You shall also find that conceiving yourself as the being of spirit in the universe of pure spirit, eating the food and drinking the living waters of spirit, the physical body will take on a finer tone. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. The soul and body of man will become one, even as Jesus and Christ became one. And all the glorious revelations of the Spirit, searching the joints and marrow, the Word becoming flesh, and yet in my flesh shall I see God, shall be made true to you. Your body shall be a well-watered garden, a glorious garden. The desert of your body shall blossom as a rose. You who read this page, do you begin to see the new idea? Do you begin to understand that what you do on the invisible in the sacredness of truth and the Christ consciousness shall diffuse its shadow of expression through the material universe and make all things new? Eat my body, drink my blood is more than a bit of poetry. Relax and let go. Conceive yourself in the glowing white light of spirit and partake of the holy meal and eat the body of Christ Jesus, the substance of life, and drink the blood of inspiration that transcends all reason and human understanding and belief. You are the being of light in a universe of light, and you shall clothe yourself in garments of light and of praise. Yes, literally, in the glowing silence, you shall clothe yourself in the garments of light, the garments of praise, the garments of thanksgiving, and verily ye shall be clothed on the human plane. Fear not. You go forward on the way of inspiration. The eyes of spirit are now made flesh, and the former statement, having eyes ye see not, and ears ye hear not, is no more true for the human eyes of flesh. Into these very eyes the Spirit has come. The Spirit shall be flesh, and naturally the limitations of the human material vision fade away with the increase of a wondrous sense of light, and you see and hear and know what is the height and depth and breadth. Limitations that were true and were laws to the human sense of sight are no more. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Believest thou this, you who read this page? If so, then can you not see that when you partake of the spiritual food in a conscious way, your physical body will be beautifully cared for? The bread which cometh down from heaven. Where is heaven? What is heaven? Where is the me? With a capital M. The only place you can contact God is within your own consciousness. So you are very near to the glorious revelation of the being of pure spirit. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The very coming in to sup with you means the perfect union of soul and body. The body shall be permeated with the spirit and shall manifest the joys of the kingdom of heaven here and now. Cannot you see that when you bring together the soul and body, you cannot want again for anything? For all things are found within the soul of you. I am that bread of life. If any man will eat thereof, he shall never die. Be not afraid, only believe. All we need is a wholesome acceptance of the fact that there is a God in the universe, all present and willing and able to make himself manifest in any situation or at any time. Only believe. Such a wonderful restfulness after the long journey through the barren wastes of human reasoning and understanding. Such a well of water to the parched lips. It is wonderful. Go thy way. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his hire. This is the rankest kind of philosophy to the human mind, and yet so beautifully true to the one who knows that he has the living waters and the life-giving bread always within him, and that he is clothed in the garments of light and praise and thanksgiving. Why should he take thought of the purse, the scrip, the journey? What ye therefore do in silence, ye shall manifest in the open courts of the world. See that ye be well fed with spirit, and clothed and watered with the life-giving essence of being. See that ye make the journey in spirit first, and then the Father worketh hitherto, and I work, shall be true. The invisible consciousness shall have perfected it before the body has yet expressed it. So is it true, I go before you and make straight the way. So before you go on the journey, the Father consciousness has gone before you and made straight the way, and you come along later and express the mechanics of the trip. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. That is, I carry it out into expression, and it will be perfect and complete in every detail. Remember that the power which knows the number of hairs of your head and cares for the sparrows has fully taken care of every detail of the journey. Nothing is too small for this glorious power. Nothing too large. It is wonderful. Fear not. It is I. Fear not. I am with you always. I will never leave you. I, the center and circumference of all being, am with you always. If you, then, would pause in the fury of human thinking and return to your Father's house, consciousness, and partake of the invisible meal and clothe yourself with the invisible garments of light and praise, the starving body would go through the mechanics of eating and be perfectly satisfied. So may you carry the idea right down the line of human wants, until your soul shall magnify the Lord, the giver of all good, whose arm is not shortened. Before this book was put down on paper, It existed in its entirety in the invisible. I go before you and make straight the way. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 11:25. If this be true, why waste any more time trying to make the wise and prudent drink the living waters or eat the bread of life? But see to it that from this day forth you are fed and sustained on the invisible manna that cometh down from heaven.